Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and one reaction to Governor Patterson's State of the State address yesterday. New York State Republican Chairman Ed Koch said that Patterson delivered a Republican message of fiscal responsibility. But what does that mean for my next guest, a real Republican hoping to take Patterson's job? He is former Long Island Congressman Rick Lazio. You may also remember that Lazio was the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate against Hillary Clinton in 2000. Congressman Lazio, welcome back to WNYC. I guess 2000 was the last time you were on.
May have been, I'm sorry to say. Great to be on again, though, Brian, and Happy New Year to you and your listening audience.
And to you. What you been doing since then?
Well, raising two teenage daughters and having a good life of trying to help out where we can. I've been working in the private sector for the last 9 years, served on a number of not-for-profit boards, Audubon, New York, Enterprise Community Partners, a number of different interests from affordable housing to the environment to helping people with disabilities, which were issues that I cared about deeply when I was in the public sector, and I still care about them. And during the time I've been out of public life, I've been working on those issues too.
So you've been working on these issues kind of part-time. Did you have a job in the private sector?
Oh, yes. I ran a group called the Financial Services Forum, which was a group of chief executive officers, and we ran that out of New York. And then for the last 5 years, I've been working at J.P. Morgan Chase.
So do you have any reaction to our last segment? Did you hear the end of that about the Fed and AIG?
You know, I heard a little bit about the last question I heard about was whether the Fed was part of the government. And I believe it is. Whether or not the administration has control over the Fed, they're still part of the government, and the appointees are all public appointees, not independent appointees.
And they apparently, according to emails released by Congressman Issa yesterday to Bloomberg News, pressured AIG in the fall of 2008 to keep secret from shareholders and the public the deal for 100 cents on the dollar repayments to Goldman Sachs of AIG's debt, even as the taxpayers were bailing out AIG. I don't know if you have any reaction to that, given your role in the financial sector.
Only to the extent that the public deserves to get to the bottom of it, that we should have a robust hearing or series of hearings on the matter. And it does raise questions that need to be answered.
So why get back into politics now?
You know, it's sort of like you walk down the street and you see trash on the sidewalk. Do you step over it or do you pick it up? For me, I've been very lucky in my life. I've had a great public sector career. I've been a prosecutor. I've been a local legislator. I've been a four-term member of Congress, all here in New York. And for the last 9 years, I've been in the private sector, and I'd like to take that experience to help the only state that I've ever called my home state, which is in crisis. There's a crisis that's not just a fiscal crisis, but a crisis of faith in government. You look at Albany, and we may have the worst state government in the entire nation, and it's not fitting, and it's not acceptable given the history of this great state and the quality of the people here.
Republican gubernatorial hopeful Rick Lazio, my guest on WNYC. How about that Ed Koch quote? Republican chairman in the state, Patterson having a good Republican message in his State of the State speech yesterday. Does that make it harder for you to run against him if Patterson is the nominee?
No, I strongly believe that where the governor is right, we should people, whether or not you're in the opposition political camp, should point out areas of agreement. And for example, for me, I thought that Governor Patterson deserved applause for his challenge to change the ethical culture in Albany, and raising these issues, challenging the legislature to be good partners in cleaning up our state government. And I agree with many of the reforms. I agree about better disclosure, stronger restrictions on outside income, conflict of interest rules strengthened, campaign finance limitations. occasions. I agree with Governor Patterson on all those points, and I am
term limits too.
Term limits, yes, for both legislators and for statewide officials. And I think we should be able to find areas of agreement, even though we are in opposition camps. I mean, there are also areas where I thought his speech was lacking, and I would say the elephant in the room was the enormous budget deficit that's facing the state. We're looking at a three-year shortfall of over $40 billion, current year coming in of this fiscal year of almost $9 billion. And I thought it was a missed opportunity that Governor Patterson did not try to marshal support for a plan to close that budget gap.
He has, in general, been sounding like a deficit hawk, a fiscal hawk, hasn't he?
He has. We need specifics, and we need the. In fairness to him, we need the legislature, which is controlled by his own party, to be stronger and better partners in meeting him halfway to try and assure some solvency. You know, one of the worst things that a businessman confronts when he thinks about an investment decision is uncertainty, and you have right now enormous uncertainty about the state of New York, whether or not it can pay its bills. You saw that a few weeks ago during this fiscal year, the governor delayed payments to school districts and to local governments. And if you looked at the ways in which the legislature tried to close that gap with the governor, almost all one-shots, almost all gimmicks, including taking federal aid from the next fiscal year and moving it into this fiscal year, which just causes deeper problems next year. So we need to have real solutions, and we need to have people that are willing to rally together for the benefit of the people of New York. People need to know that their government works for them, and it's not just about getting elected.
What do you think about his call to lift the cap on charter schools?
I'm absolutely for it. I think that charter schools often inspire our young people to stay in school and get a high school diploma. I am really concerned, Brian, about the dropout rate in some of our schools. I was up in Buffalo a few weeks ago where the dropout rate is nearly 50%. And it's just an unbelievable tragedy that we have allowed this to continue for so long, and we don't have a more meaningful program to inspire kids to stay in school to get their diploma. And there's some interesting things that are being done in other areas. In Syracuse, for example, there's a program where our students there, if they ask for it, can get tutoring, one-on-one tutoring. This is a joint fund that's been created both with philanthropic, private philanthropic dollars and public dollars. And if these young children graduate from school and get into an area college, a consortia of area colleges, there's a commitment that the tuition will be taken care of. Whatever gap there is between federal aid and the actual cost of tuition will be picked up. Those are the kind of innovative programs that we need to keep our young people focused, motivated, supported. These are going to be the future physicians and teachers and business leaders and governors of. And we're making a big mistake by not doing a better job of making sure they get the support that they need.
Republican gubernatorial hopeful Rick Lazio with us on WNYC. So where do you disagree with Governor Pat? You like his ethics reforms.
Right.
You like how much of a fiscal hawk he's being. You both say the legislature has to come along. You like his charter school lift the cap proposal. What would you say are your biggest couple of policy differences with
him? I wouldn't be in the position that Governor Patterson finds himself in right now, because he ended up signing a budget that I think he really knew was not a good budget in the last fiscal year in the spring of 2009 that increased spending by over three times their rate of inflation. And that has helped compound the problems that we have right now. So we've raised spending only to reduce spending again. I think Governor Patterson often says the right thing, things that I agree with, things that I think a lot of New Yorkers agree with. And then when you look at the follow-through, the execution, you're left lacking, frankly. So in terms of the differences between Governor Patterson and myself, I think if you looked at my record in Congress and in the local legislature, you'd see a very consistent record of reducing spending, balanced budgets, finding middle ground. I've served in the minority and I've served in the majority in legislatures. I have worked to accomplish legislative goals and gotten things done even when I've been in the minority. And I think the idea is to bring people together, to build coalitions of people that believe in the same things that I believe in. I mean, I know that there are Democrats in the New York State Senate that reject the culture that's going on right now, that want to have stronger ethical rules. And I believe absolutely with some support for them that you can multiply those numbers and get the magnitude of change that we need. We need to get back in the growth business in New York. We need to get back in the jobs business. We've lost 30% of our manufacturing jobs over the last 10 years. We've had a net loss of IT jobs in a state with a highly skilled workforce, which is the financial center of the country and perhaps of the world. That just can't stand.
We've just got a couple of minutes left. How do you look back on your run against Hillary Clinton in 2000? All the media seems to remember, and I don't really want to dwell on it, but I will ask you about it, is when you walked over to her in a televised debate to ask her to sign a campaign finance pledge, and that was seen as a man getting in a woman's space.
Right.
Was that your own idea?
You know, I take responsibility for it, and it was a mistake 9 years ago. One of the things about life, is that along the way, many of us make mistakes. We do things that, in retrospect, we wish we hadn't done, and with some self-examination, you're a better person, you're a stronger person, you're more experienced, and you're ready to do things that you couldn't do earlier. And I look at my life very much like that. I've had a series of successes, and I've been very privileged, and I've made mistakes. And one of those mistakes was 9 years ago. Having said that, you know, we did carry 49 of the 62 counties, 44% of the vote against a sitting first lady. I wish we would have won, but we didn't, and I completely respect the decision of the people of New York.
Looking back, do you think that's the main reason you lost? Because, with all respect, my theory at the time, and I said it on the air at the time, was that you kind of blew upstate by defending Governor Pataki's record on the upstate economy while Hillary was saying things were really bad. Is that a fair recollection of history?
It was, with the caveat that I was saying the same thing that Senator Schumer was saying at the same time. And I got it wrong, and I think Chuck Schumer got it wrong at the time. You know, it looked like things were getting better and that we were turning the corner, and in fact, we hadn't. And unfortunately, for these last 9 years, things have not gotten better for either Western New York or the rest of upstate New York. We have not been producing the jobs. Our young people are increasingly leaving, both in the suburbs, candidly, as well as upstate New York. The taxes are really crushing, particularly property taxes, fixed income, people on fixed income and small businesses and young families, middle-income young families. And there is a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of skepticism. People are very disillusioned. They're scared. They're angry. And there's a lot of unrest among the electorate because they just don't see New York being on a path that promises a better future for the next generation. And all it takes, Brian, and I absolutely believe this, is political will and the public engagement. People need to be involved. They need to be part of this debate. We need to have a healthy, respectful debate that doesn't disintegrate the name-calling. But we for sure can't continue to go down this path that we're on right now, because it's a path for fewer jobs, inferior education, less hope, and a government that continues to operate in chaos and dysfunction.
Former Long Island congressman, now Republican gubernatorial hopeful, Rick Lazio. We'll have you back later in the year as the elections come closer.
Thank you, Brian. I'd love that.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
And listeners, in case you're interested, I'll be talking more about New York politics on television tonight as part of the New York One Reporters Roundtable around 7:30 and 10:30 tonight on New York One. And coming up next, personal finance guru Jane Bryan Quinn on community and internet banks. Stay with us.